The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. We've got the FA Cup quarterfinals and the Premier League to look forward to this weekend in the company of Ron Atkinson, Robbie Savage and Derek McGovern. All well?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah. Great. Midweek, which was a good one for the home nations, not so good for Republic of Ireland. England won, of course, in a game where the only highlight was a man coming on as a substitute called Bellend, or maybe Bjellend, if you're Danish. Not particularly exciting.
I thought you meant well back then.
Harsh. So we don't need to talk about that too much. I don't think we'll maybe cross over any subjects that cropped up in it as we go through these matches this weekend. Let's do the FA Cup quarterfinals first, shall we? William Hill, the official betting partner of the competition, of course. Arsenal versus Everton is where it all starts. 12:45 on Saturday lunchtime. Arsenal 10-11 to win at home. 11-5 the draw. And 100-30 for Everton. Everton, a lot of people's tip for the competition when they were looking for an outsider, and probably not many people have changed their mind after watching Arsenal against Stoke last weekend. Ron, they were. A word that gets used quite a lot on this podcast is insipid, and that pretty much describes Arsenal's performance. They were worse than Stoke in pretty much every department.
Yeah,
you can't
they
be like that against Everton, can they?
No. They've come off the rails a little bit, haven't they? And they're not helped by the fact that. Yes, now Wilshere's out of the business. They definitely miss Ramsey. Ramsey's the big miss, but because he was the one. They've got a lot of these creative ball playing midfield players, but he was the one that was breaking free and scoring goals, and they've missed him. He seems to have been out for an eternity,
yeah,
though.
It does.
You
right.
Keep thinking he'll be back, and he's not. And that would worry a little bit. Arsenal's injuries do seem to take a long time to clear up. I think they'll overcome. I also think Everton aren't. Everton have dropped down a degree or so over the last few weeks. All right, Lukaku back, that'll give them a little bit of added thrust. But I think Arsenal are just about home advantage, just about have enough to see them over the line. I fancy Arsenal to win. I think both teams might score, and I could see something like a 2-1 result, mate.
Yeah. Robbie, is it fair to say that Everton are like, they play in a they're like Stoke but times about 10. They're very in your face, they're good with the ball, much better with the ball than Stoke. Everton, I can't get out of my head that Everton look a big price at 100-30. What do you think, Robbie?
Great price. I just think because it's Arsenal's only competition, they can realistically win. I think they'll really, really go for it at home. Massive thing. If it was Everton, I'd go for Everton. But the thing is at the Emirates, I'll have to go with an Arsenal win, because realistically, I think they won't win the Premier League. They're going to go out of the Champions League, so this is the only trophy they can realistically win. So I'm going to go for an Arsenal 2-1, and we're on both teams to score 2-1 Arsenal.
Yeah, 7-1, the 2-1. Both teams to score, and Arsenal to win is 5-2. Naismith loves this competition, Derek, doesn't he? If you're looking for goal scorers to make that one, you might think Everton can beat Arsenal.
I do.
Yeah, I thought you might.
I do. I think back to the league game not so long ago, which finished 1-1. Everton got a late equaliser, but they were more than a match for Arsenal that day. They finished 0-0 there last season in the league. And Ron says Everton have gone off the boil. I'm not sure they have, The only two defeats they've had in the last five games were that one against Chelsea, which was a 95th-minute goal that should never have been allowed anyway. And the defeat by Tottenham, and they were better than Tottenham that day as well. Arsenal have definitely gone off the boil. I actually think, I don't think there's much to choose between these two sides at all. I don't think Arsenal are in any way superior to Everton. Over 3-1 Everton here. Yep. Both sides are analogy to silverware, we know that. But this is a big chance for both of them. Robbie says Arsenal will give it everything because they've got nothing else to play for. Will they, though? I'm not sure, Rob. They play Bayern Munich on Tuesday, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, me and you know they've got no chance of overturning that. But Wenger, he'll probably think they've got half a chance. Yeah. So will he give it everything in this game?
Well, I hope so for their sake because, I'm with you. Will he think that? I don't know.
Yeah.
He will pick the best possible team he can tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm buggered the game on Tuesday.
Let that look after itself. He can't afford. All right, if they're still top of the league, a few points clear or something like that, that might have affected his thinking. He can't now. He will pick his strongest team, and
they've got Chelsea.
You say Everton have. I can't recall many particularly good Everton performances recently. The best performance I can recall is probably, I think it's about the first half hour at Tottenham when Osman got in a few times, and they probably should have been beaten. But a lot of the performances, and I was a big Everton supporter early on in the season, but they don't seem to be playing with the same sort of snap and whatever.
To be fair, Dale, it must have been great for Ron picking his best team and going out in the fifth round most years.
We did one. Hey, by the way, you're not wrong. We did one, yeah? mind you, we won it either side of that.
Hey, bear in mind, by the way, that Arsenal are still... We're talking about the Bayern Munich game, but the two games after that are Chelsea away and Tottenham away. Mm. So, you know...
We need to find some form, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't think they'll come into the equation. Yeah. I don't think they'll come into the equation. I think it's just definitely... This one, first time out. Mm. And don't forget, I'll tell you what also plays a part, daft as it may seem, the fact it's an earlier kickoff and they all bleat about it, gives them more recovery time.
Yeah. Yeah. One interesting thing, I don't know if I said this the other week, but apparently a lot of the Arsenal players have always disliked playing these games because Wenger gets them up like a ridiculously early o'clock and makes them eat spaghetti bolognese for breakfast. Maybe that's the same for every team, Robbie, I don't know.
I'm just thinking there, Robbie, the best time we ever did, and Lee, you ask Kirsty, Kirsty will tell you, we played Manchester City at Hillsborough New Year's Day, 12 o'clock kick-off or whatever. So I got all the boys up at the 8 o'clock or whatever time it was, and I got a bottle of champagne on each table with the female meal. And everybody had a glass, you know, it's one of them, you know, whatever, and poached eggs.
It's New Year's, isn't it?
How did you get on? Yeah.
Hey, and what I didn't realise till years later, if Hirsty went around minesweeping, he scored two, and then what's his pressman got injured, so Hirsty raced and went in goal.
What was the
final score?
He kept a clean sheet.
Scored two and kept a clean sheet after half a bottle of champagne.
Hey, he might have been more than that, I think, from what he told me later.
No, I went long for the 90s.
He went to the centre circle at the end and took a bow. Do you know him at all, Robbie? Robbie, do you know Hirsty at all?
No.
Oh, what's he like, Lee? He's the funniest footballer. Oh, he's fucking hilarious.
Likes a drink as well, to be fair to say. Obviously, not now.
And just going back to what you said, by the way, about the lunchtime kickoffs. The last time Arsenal played at lunchtime, Wenger bleated like mad afterwards. He got battered 5-1 by Liverpool.
That's true, yeah.
They don't like the open at lunchtime.
They don't start particularly quick anyway, do they? A few little stats for you. They have got a tremendous record under Wenger in the FA Cup at home. They've only lost two home FA Cup ties under Wenger in 39. One was against Leeds in round 4 in 1997, and the other one was against Blackburn last season in round 5. That's an amazing record. 39 matches at home under Wenger in the FA Cup, and they've lost two of them. A couple of goal scorer ones. I mentioned Naismith already. This has been his competition this year. He's been scoring goals. Scored three in his last two FA Cup appearances. And as far as the Gunners go, Lukas Podolski scored four in four FA Cup appearances for Arsenal this season. So 2-2-1s for Robbie and for Ron and Derek.
Everton for me.
Just Everton at 100-30. Let's have a look at the three Sunday games. First one is at noon, and it's at Bramall Lane, where Sheffield United are taking on Charlton. 5-4, Sheffield United. 21-10 the draw, and 12-5 the price for Charlton, who put out the Blades' neighbours, Sheffield Wednesday, in the last round, which scuppered the Steel City Derby quarter final, which a lot of people in South Yorkshire are obviously looking forward to. Sheffield United, anyone who watched that Fulham game when they got through to this the previous round of the FA Cup, it was a pretty drab game, but they won it late in that extra time. And since then, they've been on a crest of a wave, Robbie, won seven on the bounce since then, lifting themselves clear of danger in League One. Scoring 13 and conceding just one goal. If ever there was a game that you would hold up to, you know, Pochettino or whoever else you want to say weakens down, that was the game. What a boost it's given. It could have saved their season, that Fulham result. Robbie?
Say that again.
If ever there was a game that you should hold up to Pochettino and people like him, that was the one. It's lifted their season, hasn't it? It's lifted
Pochettino, what are you talking about?
No, what he's saying is about Southampton feeling
weak. Right,
I'll do it a bit more simple.
Do it for the heart of understanding, Lee.
If ever there was a game to hold up to people who put out weakened sides in the FA Cup, that was it, wasn't it?
Yep. Just ask me how Sheffield United are going to get on, Lee. Right.
Sorry for being creative and all that.
Well, you only had a week to sort this out. I think I'm going to go with Sheffield United. I think Cluffy's done, you know, a fantastic job. But, you know, the tie itself, you know, when you beat Villa away, when you beat Fulham, when you beat Forest, you know, to go out to Charlton at home in a quarter final must, you know, would be horrendous. It's a great tie for Charlton as well. I think home advantage counts. Really like the wide men for Sheffield United. Murphy looks a fantastic player. Porter scoring goals now for Nigel Clough, who let him go from Derby. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. 1-0 Sheffield United, and Nigel Clough, I think he's just come second in Manager of the Month behind, I'm not sure who won it, but he was second. Done a great job. Left the foundations at Derby for McLaren to move him on, and he's done that, and he's doing great at Sheffield United. 1-0 to them.
1-0 is 11-2.
I'm just thinking, was it Nigel Clough that made you captain or assistant manager?
What, me?
he's the one that gave me that massive contract.
Yeah. I thought there must be some affection in this.
You know what it's like, Rob? We all do stuff for money we don't want to do, really. Some of us come out better than others.
There you go. Probably a home advantage, Sheffield. The only thing that would worry you is the fact that, you know, they've gone that many games on the trot winning. It looks almost a foregone conclusion that they'll win it. Probably benefit of the doubt. Charlton and having the poor season, actually, you know, that was a bit of a silver lining beating Wednesday. But yeah, I suppose I can't argue against Sheffield winning it.
Derek, you look at Charlton's away form in the Championship, no win in 9, lost the last 4 on the spin, only scoring 1 goal. It's only in the FA Cup where they've been winning. They beat Oxford away, they beat Huddersfield away, they beat Sheffield Wednesday away. But bottom 3 in the Championship, they've got bigger fish to fry, haven't they? Charlie?
Well, they have, yeah, but I can't imagine they'll say, oh, well, we're not really bothered, or we've appealed a weakened team in a quarter final of the Cup. I have to say, Sheffield, it's hard to oppose Sheffield United, the form. They're not just winning games, they're not conceding goals at all, and now they're playing, you know, at home to a side that are struggling. Instead of going for a result here, because I think Sheffield United, actually, even though I think they'll win, 5-4 is a bit short, given that they're playing a team from a high division. I'm going to go for Charlton not to score at 13-8. I don't see why they will score against Sheffield United when about 7 other teams have failed in the last 7 games.
Chris Porter to score and Sheffield United to win is priced up at 3-1. That might tempt a few people in, because he's obviously been very good in this competition. Scored 4 in his 6 FA Cup appearances already. Next up, let's have a look at Hull versus Sunderland at 2 o'clock on Sunday. 23-20 the home win, 11-5 the draw, and Sunderland are priced up at 13-5. Already beating them to nil twice, Derek, this season, Hull. The two guys up front, as we've mentioned in the previous round, are cup tied, which leaves a big hole up front for Hull, doesn't it?
It does.
And they didn't, just when you think they're doing all right, they suddenly throw in a pretty poor performance again, don't they?
Well, that was a shocker against Newcastle.
4-1.
Yeah, the result was as shocking as what happened on the touchline. I think Sunderland are a decent bet here. I really do.
Ask you a question there.
Go on.
Yeah. I haven't seen that. How bad was that? One or two lads that have seen it said that it wasn't as bad as it's been made out.
No, well, it wasn't a headbutt. He didn't grab him by the ears and put one on him, but he did that for him.
Well, that's not a headbutt. That's
GBH. It wasn't a Glasgow kiss, but it was one of those where you lean in a bit, and there's no need to do it. There was no need for it either. You know what I mean? He kind of made out, Robbie, didn't he? That Pardew made out that defended himself.
So what are you doing? Are you judging how bad it is by the outcome of the injury?
Who, me? Yeah. No, I'm just explaining to Ron what happened.
Well,
your column's about it today, isn't it, Robbie? I mean,
I just think that as a manager, you can't do that. I think there's a line, you cannot do that. No provocation. People say that Myla pushed him. Listen, ridiculous. He nudged past him. He let the ball go into his leg. What do you want Myla to do? He's gone and get the ball. Pardew then is obviously everyone can lip read. He's then motioned towards Myla and then threw his head in his face. It's nonsense. On the back of that, he was fined $20,000 2-game ban for pushing the linesman. And he said, you know, he was disappointed with himself then. All the other previous incidents. Add to that, John Carver at Wigan when he went on the pitch to McManaman. The goalkeeping coach sent to the stands. Willie Donaghy you know, has left the club for an altercation with a, you know, with a player allegedly. So it's not right. Ridiculous.
There's something niggling them, isn't
there? Well, ridiculous.
I mean, the thing is, Robbie, there were 3-1 up running. Obviously, the 3-1 up run at the time. There was no niggling the game either, really, was there? I mean, it was, he's interesting.
Ron, you would never have done that, Ron, would you?
Only if it's Neil Warnock.
Special dispensation.
Yeah, but that would have been all right.
And then the LMA allow that.
Pardew's 8-1 to be the next manager to leave.
It's wrong.
But it wasn't.
He did well though to throw the head in because he's normally stuck up his own arse, isn't he?
But it wasn't a proper headbutt, is what what people are saying.
But Lee, that's not the point.
No, but it's being blown.
That's not the point, Lee.
The intention is wrong.
It's not the point. No. It's not a proper headbutt.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, it's been described. I think if you hadn't seen it,
it's a headbutt, Lee.
It's
a headbutt. So what do you call it then?
Headline.
Robbie, you've got to understand that these cutting professionals don't all have your high moral standards of etiquette and of football.
That's been pointed out to me, Ronald, don't worry.
I love it. In Robbie's column at the end, you point out that you've been getting a bit of stick on Twitter and about calling you a hypocrite. And you said, but I was only sent off once. You didn't mention how many times you were booked.
I never went over the top, Lee. I never butted anybody. I was on the receiving end of a few, but as Gary Lineker said, he wouldn't like to have done it. Do you mean? But
yeah.
There's a line. I knew where the line was, Lee.
So
I would rather say I was clever.
Yeah, Alan Pardew.
When you get booked 89 times in the Premier League, but only sent off once, I think you're clever.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, that's a fair point.
Put it that way.
Pardew's 8-1 to be the next manager to leave. Looks like he's pretty much weathered that storm, I guess, because he's apologised on numerous occasions. Ron, what I was going to say was, if you stick Sky Sports News on today, you will have seen the headbutt about a million times. So you'll be sick of it by 5 o'clock tonight.
Yeah,
it's been replayed quite a lot. We were talking Hull Sunderland. Before we got into that, Derek, I think you were talking about.
It makes you wonder how Sunderland are going to react to the cup final defeat last week. I mean, because they played really well in that. Will their season falter? I can't imagine it will do, given the precarious position they're in. I just think they're overpriced here to beat a Hull side who's arguably his two best performers recently are out of the side because the cup side. I think nearly 3-1 Sunderland, I'm all over that.
That's why we talked about Newcastle for 10 minutes, because Derek was talking about Hull.
Go on, Rob, show us the benefits of all your extensive homework.
I would actually fancy Sunderland a bit. I'll tell you what they did well early on in that cup match earlier. They nullified Touré, didn't they, in the cup early on, until he got the wonder goal. I wouldn't be surprised to see him do a similar job on Huddleston.
Yeah.
And try and you're right, the two front players out. Although I like that kid, what's his name? I saw him play last year. I thought he was very, very sharp, very quick. You would think if they can take anything like that performance into their remaining league games, and that doesn't always happen, I must add. I think they can win this one. I think they'll win this one. Once again, you might look and see what sort of team he picks. But at knowing point, knowing they've had a bit of joy there, I think he'll go with his strongest team. I think they could win it.
Robbie, which way do you go on this one?
I would go Sunderland in the replay, so I'll go for the draw.
Draw 11-5.
It's a whole other game, isn't it?
Yeah, this one's.
I'll go. 1-1 draw. Sunderland take them back and winning it.
The draw is 11-5. 1-1's 11-2, and Sunderland to qualify is 11-10 over the course of the two legs. If it does go to a replay, and Derek, you're going.
Sunderland to win in 90 minutes.
13-5. Final FA Cup quarter-final of the weekend is Manchester City versus Wigan. Man City are 2-13. It's 13-2 the draw and 16-1 for the FA Cup holders. Man City exercised some demons at Wembley on Sunday, beating Sunderland. And now they can pretty much banish all of them, Ron, by beating the team who beat them in the final last year. Does Wigan's cup run finish here?
You would think so, but 16-1, that's the going to the game bet.
Big price, isn't
that's
it?
That's the fun bet, isn't it? Uwe Rosli going back to a club. He's a bit of a legend there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put anybody up having a 10-run 16-1 going to the game. But logic tells you Manchester City have got to win it, haven't they?
Yeah, you
just
would
a question of how they win it. To get any value, I suppose you've got to go on a big price, haven't you? And a big score.
Well, I mean, I suppose, Derek, if you, you know, because it's such a big price, it gives you a lot of insurance, doesn't it? You know, you could back, I mean, you can back Wigan plus two at 8-5. You can back Wigan plus three at 11, at, you know, 2-1 on, more or less, which, you know, that gives you a Man City two-goal victory, a one-goal victory, a draw, and Wigan on your side. There's a lot of things on your side there, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, there
and is. And Wigan, you know, to be fair to Wigan, five straight wins, scored 13, conceded three.
Yeah, but in the last six visits to the Etihad, they haven't scored a goal.
No.
Yeah, and they got battered 5-0 by Man City there earlier this season, didn't they?
Oh, yeah,
in the Capital One Cup. You know, their only hope is to perform like they did in the FA Cup final, but it's unlikely, isn't it? The Etihad doesn't really lift you as much as Wembley. I think City... Although, no, they struggled against Watford, didn't they, in an early round, and it took them a long time to polish off Watford, but I just don't see them making the same mistake against Wigan here. I'm going to go for City minus two at 6-5.
Just remind me, have they got a European
commitment? Yeah, playing Barcelona on Wednesday.
Robbie, you were at Wembley to watch Manchester City. Do you think they can put a 90 minutes together like they did in the second half? Because they were great in the second half, weren't they?
They were aware, but some were magnificent in the first half. Mm. But Sunderland, I thought he was at Freer. You know, his goal, I was with Mick McCarthy. Mick McCarthy was unsure if he meant it or not. I thought he bent in the top corner superbly well. Second goal from Nasri was great. I think they'll steamroller Wigan. I'm going 3 or 4-0.
Right.
Wigan not to score. 3 or 4-0.
Yeah. Well,
did you say Mick McCarthy thought Tory didn't mean that goal?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He was unsure. He was unsure.
Yeah, God. Yeah. I mean, it was a wonderful goal.
He did. Yeah. There's no danger.
Yeah. 3-0, 5-1, 4-0, 7-1. Robbie's effectively on the same kind of wavelength there as Derek on the minus two as well. A minus two bet would land if either of those scores came in. Just remind us, Ron, what you're going for.
I'd go for a sensible City 2-0.
5-1, that is.
I think they'll make a fist of it, a big fist of it, Wigan, there. Particularly Rosler going there. And it looks a safe bet. I wouldn't think Aguero would play. You know, they took him off after about an hour, didn't they?
Yeah.
If they're going to use him, they'll be using him in Barcelona.
Yeah.
You know, and whether Dzeko on his own still doesn't convince me on his own.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. 2-0. 5-1 is quite decent, I think.
Yeah. Just, I'll just run through the outright odds very quickly. City are 5-6 to win the FA Cup. Arsenal 11-4. Everton 5-1. Hull 12. Sunderland 14s. And then 50-1 for Wigan. 66 Charlton. 66 for Sheffield United. The Premier League continues this weekend. Two live games, which we'll look at first, and three others. First up, live on the telly at 12:45, two of Ron's former clubs, West Brom versus Manchester United. 19-5, the Baggies at home. 11-5, the draw. Man United 5-6. Who needs this more, Ron?
I think West Brom do. If West Brom got beaten, I mean, I'm beginning to think now it's Norwich and West Brom in that third bottom place.
Mm.
So I think they need it more. I think people would if United once again, have they got their European game this week or is it the week after?
Week after.
I'm going to go for a draw. I'd go for a draw.
Interesting.
I'd go for a draw.
Good reason for that, Ron. I mean, firstly, we forget what happened last time we went to Hawthorn. Finished 5-5, didn't it, on the last day of last season?
Yeah.
That wasn't a proper match.
No.
That was a testimonial.
Yeah, I know.
5-2 up with the knee comes on and gets that trick in 3 minutes.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, look who West Brom have played in recent weeks at home. Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton, all finished 1-1. You know, they're not the soft touches that everybody seems to make at the Hawthorns, anyway. And I can see this finishing. Why would you back United at odds on when Chelsea, Liverpool and Everton have failed to win there? You're not going to be backing
United
at odds on.
Yeah, but I'll tell you why it is, Derek, because West Brom aren't prolific goal scorers. If West Brom had a recognised goal scorer, they would not be anywhere near them. They've got some half-decent players, you know, West Brom.
Mm.
And they've had this big meeting. He's trying to do what AVB did at Chelsea, pushing slow defenders to the halfway line and saying, you know, squeeze high and leaving space in behind them. They've actually had the big meeting and gone, they'll play deeper again. They'll go back, the Olsons and McCarthy's will go back to defending how they did, perhaps under Roy Hodgson and that. And they're a useful unit doing that. What they haven't got is somebody who can lay your life down and say, he will guarantee a goal every other game. They haven't got that. So, yeah, I could see them forcing a goal because they'll have enough midfield players. United, you know, somebody can always, a Rooney, a Van Persie, can always produce a goal away from home. And, you know, when you say that those they've drawn with those teams, that's half the reason why I think they'll draw with United.
Yeah. Rooney might be a bet to score in this one. He scored six in his last five against the Baggies.
Yeah.
Robbie, which way do you go on this one?
United, West Brom at home. 2-1 win.
15-2, that is.
Yeah, 2-1 United.
Or just if you went the match result and both teams to score, Man United is 3-1. So both teams scoring, Man United winning 3-1. Derek?
A draw for me, 11-5.
And draw for you as well, Ron? 11-5. Yeah. Rooney to score first and Man United to win is 7-1, by the way. And so if you think it's going to be fairly low scoring.
In midweek.
Ah, I don't know. A lot of the senior players, Derek, for England didn't look like they really wanted to be there, did they?
No.
It's a what's the game. Price of a draw of that game, you say?
11-5. The draw price. Yeah, so the draw and both teams scoring is
17-5. Yeah.
So, yeah. Next up, let's have a look at the evening game. It's Chelsea versus Tottenham. This is a good game for the box on Saturday night. 6-10 Chelsea, 12-5 the draw, and 6-1 the price for Tottenham. I remember Tottenham had that fantastic away form earlier in the season, dropped off a little bit of late. They lost to Norwich, of course, 3-1, but had beaten Newcastle 4-0 before that, lost in Dnipro as well in the Europa League. They play Benfica in the Europa League on Thursday night at home. Chelsea have got that great record, Robbie, of course, at home under Mourinho. Do you see that in danger at all against Tottenham?
In danger, yeah, but I don't think I think that Chelsea will win. I think both teams to score. I think there's a lot of attacking options on the pitch for both teams. Chelsea stuttered at home, you know, and reached that late win against Everton, the draw against West Ham. But I think they'll, you know, both teams to score with a Chelsea victory 2-1.
Derek, Tottenham, with the players that they have got in their ranks, 6-1's a big old price. But they've got to end that run, haven't they?
Yeah, hang on a bit. This will put Derek to the supreme test.
Yeah
well, it is a big price. They seem to have gone off the boil a little bit for me, Tottenham. But then again, Chelsea have not been pulling up any threes either, getting the results, but not really impressing. But I'm thinking about that game against Everton in particular. All I would say is that Chelsea are there to be opposed at long odds on against a team that's got three draws at Stamford Bridge in the last six visits.
Right, yeah.
You know, the last two seasons there have been draws. And Chelsea are nearly one, you know, almost as short as 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Those odds are wrong. And I think Ron is going to side with Tottenham here, but I'm going to go Tottenham with a goal start at almost 6-4.
Yeah. What the bookies obviously want you to do, Ron, is to go, yep, 6-1, I want that. But that again, it's a bit like the game we were talking about earlier. We're going to, that's the size of that 6-1 just gives you the ability to back the draw and Tottenham at odds against, isn't it? Like, don't you say 29-20?
What was the draw price?
The draw is priced up at 12-5, so just under 5-2. So a bit bigger than it, you know, a bit bigger than your normal kind of price, if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd go for the draw.
Yeah,
I think I'd go for the draw. You know, they have got a some sort of pedigree at Stamford Bridge, and they have got decent players. It's not as if, you know, it's not Cardiff going there or somebody like that. You know, if Adebayor turns up, which he can do on any given day, they can even win it.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, I'd go the safe option. 6-1's got to be tempting, Derek, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Adebayor scored in three of his last four starts against Chelsea, Ron, and he scored seven in his last six Premier League appearances away from home. So might be worth a little look. Because he's away from home, he's priced about 11-4 to get a goal at any time in the match, which looks a bigish price for a player who's obviously well capable. Just a quick reminder then, you're going for the draw, Ron, so is Derek, and you're going Chelsea win, Robbie.
I'm not going for Tottenham plus a goal.
Oh, sorry, you are. Of course you are, 29-20. Let's have a look at the non-TV games. Three of them to look through. First up, Norwich versus Stoke. 13-10 the price for Norwich. 21-10 the draw. And 23-10 the price for Stoke City. Norwich in 15th position on 28 points. 2 points ahead of them are Stoke in 13th spot. Stoke obviously getting that really, really good win at home to Arsenal. In fact, they've only lost one game in the last five after that bad run where they lost four on the bounce. Norwich have kind of the other way around, only won one game in the last six. That was at home to Tottenham. Back on the home patch here, Derek. Haven't been beaten for a while at Carrow Road, have they?
Yeah, I know. I always think there's more to come from Norwich, but the results seem to say I'm wrong.
They never seem to drop into the bottom three, do they?
No, I know. I know. It shows how bad the league is. If you look back, Lee, I thought the last week's game, Norwich and Villa, was a sure to be a low scorer. And look what happened, 1-4.
Yes, yeah.
But this one, I mean, I just can't see goals from any angle. Most of the meetings in the last six seasons have all finished like 1-0 or nil-nil. So I'm going to go for under 1.5 goals at 2-1. I've got no idea who'll win the game. But it won't be a high scorer. And that 2-1 should be shorter in this fixture.
Mm, yeah. Robbie, have you got any strong feelings, Robbie, on who wins this one? Norwich versus Stoke?
No, Norwich have got a decent home record, I think, recently, haven't they? If I was going for it, I'd go with Stoke.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah. Ron?
Yeah, I think I'd go for a draw with Crouch to score again against one of his old clubs.
Yeah, the draw price is 21-10. Let's have a look, see what the draw and Crouch to score. This any time goal for Peter Crouch, and the draw comes out at 4-1.
I can't remember him playing for Norwich.
He went on loan from the Villa. I wondered who'd dive in.
Yeah. I was just staying quiet, if I'm being honest.
You rang.
Palace versus Southampton, 5-2 Palace, 21-10 the draw. And 6-5 for Southampton. Southampton came unstuck against Liverpool. Had some chances in the first half, but once Liverpool had weathered those, they put in a really good performance, didn't they, to beat them 3-0 on their patch. Southampton's away record hasn't been bad. They have lost the last couple. One to Sunderland in the Cup that we've already mentioned, and the 3-1 defeat at West Ham. As for Crystal Palace, well, it's home where they're picking up the points that they hope will keep them from going down, Ron. Lost to Man United 2-0, but before that, they'd won three on the bounce and drawn one.
Yeah, the daft thing about Southampton is you keep thinking they're going to be good, then they lose. So you think, what's going to happen next? And they generally, I think, after a bad performance, usually come back with a good one, don't they?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Just remind me of the prices again.
Crystal Palace are 5-2 at home. The draw is 21-10, and Southampton are 6-5.
Oh, I'd go for Palace. Mm. I'd go for Palace with the odds at home, 5-2. Knowing that, the one thing about them, we'll have them wound up. I'd go. The odds would sway me definitely for a home win.
Yeah, Derek.
Well, yeah, Palace have got. They've won as many home games this season as Man United. Mm-hmm. And the 5-2 to beat the Southampton side, who I think are looking there for the taking now. They've lost three on the spin, Southampton, and they've got players there who might be thinking, well, you know, we're safe, we're not going to be qualifying for Europe, we've got the World Cup coming. Are they going to be playing for the places of the World Cup, or are they going to be thinking, like, we've done enough, we were in the squad? I don't know, difficult one to beat Southampton, but yeah, I'd agree with Ron. Palace 5-2 looks a big price to me.
I've heard a few people, Robbie, saying that Southampton haven't really got an awful lot to play for other than, you know, where they finish in the Premier League. And, you know, in a way, you don't want to finish in Europa League places, do you? I don't know if that comes into it. But more desire for Palace than there is for Southampton in this fixture, though, Robbie, would you say?
Yeah, again, going back to this FA Cup weekend, why on earth he played that team at Sunderland? No, the 11, no.
Really, they should hold up that Sheffield United Fulham win to Pochettino, shouldn't they?
Ridiculous, yeah.
Good point.
I just think Southampton might just have enough to go there and win.
When you say they've got nothing to play for, you know, I think it's totally different. I think those lads that have been involved in the England squad, I think they'll have a good edge to them. I think they'll be playing for their places.
Yeah,
I think they'll see a bit of daylight there. Even the likes of Lambert, who may or may not be in the last 23. I think they'll definitely pull out all the stops. So I just think that if Crystal Palace are going to survive, it's in games like this that they will survive.
Yeah, fair enough. Cardiff Fulham's the last one we look at. 7-5 Cardiff. The draw is 21-10. Fulham are priced up at 21-10 as well. 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Fulham rock bottom with 21 points, a full 4 points from safety. Cardiff next to them on 22 points. So massive game, obviously, Robbie, this one. Cardiff v Fulham. The Fulham boss still making lots of positive noises, but have to start winning games soon. Both of these teams have to start winning games soon. A draw
Fulham-Cardiff, isn't it?
Cardiff, yeah.
Whoever loses is down 100%, I think. Fulham run out of steam against Chelsea. So for 50 minutes they were good, but run out of steam, is that the basis of a long hard season? Is that the manager's running them too hard in the week? He's got a reputation of working his players too hard. They conceded equaliser at West Brom. That points to this team is either unfit or just absolutely shattered. You can't split it. I think a draw, because both teams will know if they lose, they're down. So I think it'll be an edgy game, draw.
Yep. Where do you go, Derek?
I'm going for Fulham here. I think Cardiff have become the worst team in the league. And Fulham, there's a little bit of... You look back some of the recent results. Whenever they played away at relegation rivals, they've done well. Sunderland, Norwich and Palace, they've won at all of them. I don't see why they couldn't win at Cardiff. I think they're a better team than Cardiff, actually. Fulham for me.
I think they've probably got one or two better players, whether they're a better team, because they're both poor sides, aren't they? I think it's a standout 1-1 draw. Is Hagerland will be out, won't he? Because he set great store by him last weekend, the manager. And he came off after 20 minutes, didn't he, or something?
I've got him in the team here, Ron. But he said it was a head knock that forced him off, but he's recovered from that. So he'll be back in.
Yeah, I think 1-1 stands out, mate.
Yeah, we'll have to see if Mitroglou's fit to play after playing in the international match. A lot of chat about him. This fixture's finished 2-1 in four of the last five matches between the two of them. 2-1's the most popular scoreline in the Premier League, remember. So it's 4-1 for the game to finish 2-1 either way, basically. So you're getting the 2-1 for Cardiff is 8-1, the 2-1 for Fulham is 10-1. And they've stuck them together and made it 4-1 for you. Let's get a bet of the week from the guys. No one landed last week.
I think I did.
Oh, did you? What did you have?
I can't remember, but I think I did.
I thought you had the unders on the goals, no?
No, I think I had an 11-8 winner. I think I can't remember what it was now.
I'll check it.
Okay.
And find out. What are you going for then, Guy? You can go first then, Derek.
Didn't I have Stoke plus
one?
Oh, you
did? Yeah, you did actually. Yeah, yeah, Stoke plus one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go this week for... Tottenham with a goal start at Chelsea at just below 6-4, 29-20.
Yeah, 29-20. Spurs plus one. Who wants to go next, Robbie or Ron?
Ron.
No, don't make no difference to me. I'll go a draw. You know, West Brom and United.
Yeah, 11-5. West Brom v Man U draw. And Robbie. Oh, go on, sorry, Ron.
I was just going to say, what price is 1-1 or 2-2?
As soon as you heard me say that price, you're like, that's not good enough. 1-1 is 13-2. 2-2 is 16-1. Or the score draw is 17-5.
Score draw.
Yeah, 17-5. So
yeah, I'll get that.
West Brom v Man U, score draw, 17-5. Robbie, what are you going for?
What's City minus 2?
It was... Oh, Derek, you put that up as well, didn't you? It was... I can't remember what he said it was now.
City minus two.
Was it around 29-20 as well?
I think it was actually.
I'll just double check it. Hang on. City, I've got it here now. City minus
6-5.
Okay. Having that, Robbie? 6-5 not big enough?
Yeah, I'll go that. Minus 2 City.
Okay, brilliant. So Spurs plus 1 for Derek. West Brom Man U score draw for Ron and City minus 2 in the FA Cup quarter final for Robbie. Thanks for your time, guys.
Okay,
we'll speak to you next week.
Have a must study.
Same to you, Ron. Thanks to Ron, Robbie and Derek. We'll be back next week for a look at the midweek Champions League fixtures. In the meantime, if you're having a bet on any of the Premier League matches or the FA Cup quarter finals, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.